You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions. Let's roll. It's hard to keep track of what day it is, but I believe it's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
So it's the Thursday edition of Game Time Decisions Radio, Red Heat and Rage. I am Gabriel Moretti, sitting alongside the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Tony Cincata will join us in the 6 o'clock hour. That is, it's not snowing too hard, Jay.
I think a lot of people lost power. Was it 200,000 in New Jersey?
Ooh, boo-hoo.
That's a lot of that's pretty significant though, buddy.
No, I got to admit, it would completely suck. I was without internet or cable here a couple of weeks ago, basically for about 3 hours, and I started to freak.
Oh yeah, Matt, try 3 days. What happened? Remember back in the ice
storm?
I started
to freak. Yeah. So yeah, I know it sucks.
No, I know. We lost where I was in an old neighborhood too. We lost it for 3 days. The worst thing about it was all the freezer food. I basically invited all my buddies over and go, you want a roast? You want chicken? We just cooked up everything there because it was all going bad.
Well, there was the famous ice storm in Montreal.
Oh, that was a brutal one too.
There was no power in the city for 10 days, 11 days.
That's nuts.
I actually, it's the only time, it was like the only time I've ever like had to take care of myself. I actually took an axe. My ex-girlfriend had a fireplace. And she's like, you got to get some wood. I'm like, get some wood.
Yeah, go to the park and chop a tree.
I did. Kim, I did.
That's exactly what
she had. She gave me an axe. I was like, all right. I went out and it was like, dude, the city was shut down. It's all dark everywhere. Yep. I just went in this park, man. Bam, knocked off a couple of branches. I got an axe. Bang, bang, bang.
I did the exact same thing, buddy, when I was living up in the Arctic. The pipes froze, and basically I opened up. I thought it was hot water. Just sludge rolled down.
I'd be like, in trouble.
Big trouble.
Like, I would last, like, maybe I'd tap out, like, on one of those survivalist shows. I'd be like the guy going up to the cameraman and going, listen, nah, this is no joke. Like, the show's over.
Take me
out of here. Like, I'm done.
Cut tape.
I can picture you, like, spazzing. Yeah. You got to get me out of here. Now! You're up in a helicopter on top of this mountain and stuff. And they're like, all right, Mr. Stewart, we'll see you in 4 days.
I would do well for a while, but the problem is my addictions. I think it's like caffeine. Like, the thing is, if you couldn't bring things that you have
Pepsi out there,
then I'm done. Like, give me 2 days. Like,
You can have like a couple of cans. Could see you.
Liquid gold.
You and I should try to.
Let's not. No. You want to play Survivor? Is that what you want to do?
No, I was going to say we should try to. We should try to climb the highest mountain in the world.
I'd rather not, Gabe. I got problems making it to the studio every day. It's a 40-minute walk. No mountains, please.
It would be great. I think it would be a good. It would be a good time.
Highest mountains. We should start pretty low. Like, let's start at like Mount Rainier and like move up a little bit. You know what I mean? We're not gonna Kilimanjaro. No thanks.
Yeah. We're gonna go. We're gonna go for the big deal.
No. We start small.
Mountain climbing, man. I get tired walking up the steps.
So do I. Yeah. Heavy breathing, buddy.
That's the best part about not going into the old studio. What? Walking up the stairs.
Oh yeah, those stairs were steep.
Yeah, and we should note it was only on the second floor.
It was.
I used to, like, every day I'd get up, I'd be like,
I know. I look
at the end.
I know.
I should note I did show up like a minute before
the show.
True.
You did some hustling.
Yeah, I had a brisk pace going. I had a brisk pace.
I am in better shape, though, with the bowling ball bag and 60 pounds and walking. You know, when I hit my train, I got to get there in a few minutes. So, Gabe, you know what? My cardio is getting a little bit better. It's not as bad as it was. It's not great, though. Nothing to write home about. Hey, we got some games going on, buddy. You on the same stuff I am? You're not on Oklahoma State, though. That's something that I need.
Now, right now, we are sweating out. Clemson and Boston College, try to get the over here. We got over 141, is it? 139.5. 139.5 at 65-61 with 5 minutes left remaining.
Sweat.
So it should be able to get you. We're at 126.
BC's starting to score. They only had.
You just don't know, Cam. You just don't know with these games.
You don't know, but hey, they had 6 points like a few minutes. All of a sudden, they got 25. So that's a good start. They're at least scoring some baskets.
You know what's somewhat of a surprise right now? UNLV. They're up 8 on Nevada right now. Yeah, at the half, 39-31.
Nevada was a 5.5-point favorite.
I got to tell you, this is big for UNLV. I don't know. I don't think they're getting into the tournament. I think they'd probably have to win the Mountain West.
But beating Nevada helps them. Their bubble is a little bit bigger.
It gets the if they beat Nevada, they could beat anybody else.
That's the thing. They're
like, maybe this is this the – they never win, Cam. I can't recall off the top of my head UNLV ever winning the Mountain West.
No, they don't. They never win.
You know, it's funny because the Mountain West tournament is in Las Vegas. And a couple of people brought it up that, hey, this isn't fair. Like, it should be on a neutral site. And why is it in Las Vegas?
But they still never win when it's on their home floor.
And I remember Steve Alford, now UCLA, used to be New Mexico.
Lobos.
And he said, I got no problem with it being in Vegas. It's fine. Because he won. He kept winning.
It's a good point. That guy was really successful.
They owed UNLV. It was like UNLV never wins the damn tournament. So the winning teams in the tournament were like, no, we don't mind going to Vegas. It's fine.
Always the Lobos or the Aztecs. Those were the teams that got it done.
Yesterday, Air Force played Vegas. The arena was half full. And it was a Thomas and Mack Center. Dude, it was noon Vegas time.
I know.
Against Air Force.
You think that the degenerates would be out there watching the game, but no, it's pretty empty. I don't understand it. Colorado's actually hanging around. They're only down 2 points at the half to Arizona. That's going to be.
I'm on it.
I'll tell you, the Buffaloes, that's a team. They can if they can beat Arizona today, I think they're an interesting, very, very dangerous team. They already beat Arizona State, so we'll see what happens there. Tight one. I got Oklahoma State. They're down 3 to Kansas. 41-38 Jayhawks right now. Should have maybe gone on the over in that game. There's some points.
The stress job.
Yeah, it's always a stress job. You know, you think things are going to be easy. It's never going to be easy.
Nothing's easy.
No, it's not.
Pete Annapolis, he's going to step up and join us. Pete Annapolis, a former assistant with the UMass Minutemen. UMass, actually, in action this afternoon. So we'll talk some basketball. We'll run the gauntlet with Pete. We'll talk a little NBA. LeBron James hits a shot last night, and man, it's like, dude, LeBron James hits a stupid 2-point shot with 12 seconds left, and it's like they act like he's Moses, and he's parting the red freaking sea. It's like, dude, like he's LeBron James. He's supposed to hit that
exactly.
Shot. He's supposed to hit that shot.
So the best.
For the record, there's a report out today that the four teams that LeBron James is considering for next year, staying in Cleveland, Houston Rockets.
Ooh.
Staying in Cleveland, Houston Rockets, L.A. Lakers.
Makes sense.
Does it? You know, the Lakers does sort of have that feel. I've always got the feeling that he was going to go to Houston, actually.
Think about how dangerous the Houston Rockets are now, and you add him, they're the super team. How's Golden State going to compete with that with Houston? Houston is on fire, Marantz. Yeah, again, you warned me. You warned me. You warned me last night. You warned me. And I know I had to be a smart
guy. I'm an idiot. I didn't bet on them, but I told you.
I know. Hey, I had a good night. I had a good night. You warned me. I'm like, I'm going to take the Bucks plus 6, and I'm thinking, hey, they're hanging around. And then Houston just gets on that run. It's over.
No, man. Now, betting against the Houston Rockets right now is about as safe as passing out drunk on the train tracks. The train might not come before you wake up, but it could, and it probably will.
It comes.
I caught on, Kevin, about a week and a half ago. I did it like 3 nights in a row. I was like, all right, Houston's at Utah. I was like, man, they played the night before. Yeah. This is a tough spot for them. They can't be laying 7 at Utah. They won by 14.
Yep.
And it's just been this pattern of, Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma
City, they play against good teams, tough. Yeah, how'd that work out?
Not well.
How'd it work out last night? They just, doesn't matter, no. Back-to-back, it's just, they're like the Golden State Warriors were in past years, where you just can't bet against them. But it doesn't mean they're going to beat the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs.
No, it doesn't.
But I don't know, it's tough to tell with the Warriors, Cam. I watch all the Warrior games in the late night hours, and they're going through the motions. You can tell they're frustrated, they're tired, they're sort of... They're surly.
Yeah.
It's not this like, hey, everyone's smiling and Curry's smiling. Durant's just sort of in a bad mood. Draymond Green's really, I look forward to talking about this with Tony. Draymond's like really, really struggling now. But he still puts up big fantasy numbers. But they're fighting through it, Cam. It's tough, buddy. It's been 3 years in a row that these guys have played this elite level type stuff. And it's 3 years in a row
extra
where
extra games.
Every team in the league is gunning for them. Right?
Yep.
It's a big game for you every time the Warriors come to town now. So they've got to deal with the other team's best every night. I'm not overwhelmed. I still think they're gonna win the title. But as you know, watching the Warriors, you can just see they're frustrated. They want to get to the damn playoffs.
Yeah, the regular season.
It's
an inconvenience
game
to them right now.
It's annoying them.
Yeah, exactly.
But the fact of the matter is, Cam, these games are becoming important. We'll talk about this with Pianapolis. The Houston Rockets are, they're playing for that one seed.
Exactly.
Like, it's no joke. They're winning every night. When you win 17 freaking nights in a row, you're going to climb in the standings. So the Golden State Warriors, it's kind of crazy. It's the first time in years that they're like, oh, damn. Like,
here's Houston.
We might not have home court.
That's the thing. So, yeah, that's the Houston Rockets, and they know if that's the only chance that they're going to have is getting home court, man. And I got to be honest with you. I know Golden State can put it all together. They got all the weapons. But the way Houston's playing, Gabe, I wouldn't step in front of them. This could be the year.
Like, as it is right now, they're one game up on the Golden State Warriors for home court. Meanwhile, the Toronto Raptors last
again
night, I don't know if you saw DeMar DeRozan's late dunk last night. Maybe the best play of the year in the NBA. If it was anyone else besides the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, if it was LeBron, we'd still be on there. Banners.
It would be on a 24-hour loop.
Yeah, for sure it would be.
LeBron James went coast to coast and he dunked it. I saw somebody sent me a tweet today of ESPN's season preview of the NBA. They picked the Raptors to finish sixth in the East.
Da-da-da.
Yeah, worldwide leader.
Yeah, these guys, even on off nights, they find ways to get it done.
The best is they said the Raptors will have a hard time overcoming the loss of Patrick Patterson.
Are you kidding me? That was the best thing that ever happened to them.
Patrick Patterson. That's like saying the San Diego Chargers were going to be in tough to replace Ryan Leaf. And that's not fair to
Patrick Patterson. He's had a couple good years.
He's a good guy. He's a grinder. But understand it.
Yeah.
Like, really? No,
they don't miss Patrick Patterson one bit.
Like, really? Yeah. Like, we were gonna finish in sixth. We got some Mike Piazza news, actually.
Ooh, Mike Piazza.
Yeah, Mike Piazza. Mike Piazza, of course, former LA Dodger, New York Met, but we all remember him most as being a Florida Marlin. That was the best. How long was it with the Marlins? Like 11 days?
Maybe under.
The Marlins jersey?
Yes.
Literally, it's like a week and a half. Carnado's a big Met guy, Peter, maybe. Now, Cam might have a different take, but like I said, so I'm a big Dodger fan. And Mike Piazza, of course, was a stud. And Mike Piazza, you know what his favorite band was?
No.
Motorhead.
Yeah, one of your favorite bands.
Exactly. Yeah. So
how do you not like Mike Piazza then?
Because he was a jerk to me.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I have a different story where he was very friendly to me.
He was a big jerk, and it was numerous times that he was a jerk. Now, everyone's told me, no, he's a good guy. He's just now, the thing is, he was with the Mets, and it was a freaking circus with the Mets.
It was
a nut job circus. Like, every day, he had a big feud with the media at the time, so he was a little standoffish, but no, I shouldn't really call him out and stuff like that. I talked about metal with him for like 10 minutes and stuff. But over the years, I saw him a lot. Like I said, that was the post game. Like I was,
that's the thing.
I was in Major League Baseball clubhouses every day. I met them all from that era.
It was only a one-off for me.
Yeah, he wasn't the nicest. He's not the nicest dude. The nicest dude in the world. So he owns an Italian soccer team now. And he absolutely freaking lost it.
I like the rage.
He absolutely lost it. All right. Florio said something about a reset. Are we all right, Florio? Hello?
Hello?
Florio!
Are you there, buddy? Are you there? Hello?
I guess he's not.
No, I guess he's not there.
Hello, Florio?
I used to.
Hello?
About my dad. When nobody was talking to me, Gabe, and it was my first assignment.
Yeah, what are you talking about? A reset? Is everything all right?
Yes, but.
Yeah, I'm aware. Yeah, we're aware of that. That's why we were surprised he took so long to answer us, Mike.
He was great to me. fantastic to me. When everybody else told me stiff, it was my first junior reporting job, and I had the shakes. And Chip Ragosi told me to screw off, and everybody, Mike Piazza, took pity on me and talked to me. So I'll always have a soft spot in my heart for Mike Piazza. Very nice man, Gabe. I'm sorry he's losing money in a soccer team.
Right, Mike Florio says, a little staticky, that we should reset during the break.
Oh, okay.
It probably should have said in the first message.
I'm
always concerned. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like,
I think it sounds like, from our end, it sounds good.
Yesterday, I stepped on something. I got to be honest with you. It's so clear, and there's no background noise.
It's kind of scary. That's the thing. That's when I look at you and get scared, because there's nothing there. There's not even like a little hiss or anything going on. That's when it gets real scary. You're right. That's a good point.
Yeah. So
when it's too quiet, it's scary.
Yeah. So P and Apple is going to step up in a couple of minutes. Let's we'll go to a break now. We'll get P and Apple in here. What's going on in Clemson? 74-64, 2:14 left. That's good. Score more points. More points. P and Apple joins us next. We talk basketball.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Continues. As does the madness.
A lot of tight games. A lot of tight games right now.
I gotta reboot my screens.
Yes, exactly.
I restarted.
I have a question. Are they still on the angle? That hasn't corrected itself with, like, turning off the computer stuff. You're reading scores that go six deep into other scores.
Yeah, but you know what? After
you're starting to know the angles now.
Yeah.
So you're like the protractor, 38 degrees. It's
before.
It's the one I had to click.
Before I had to click like six of the games. Now I've got it down to like two.
Oh, amazing! Yeah, so right, so you're measuring.
Yeah, I can sort of figure it out.
You're doing drywall and stuff. You're the contractor.
I believe we got Pete Annapolis. Stepping up here. Pete Annapolis, are you there, Pete?
What's going on, fellas? How you guys doing?
Always a pleasure, buddy. Thanks for joining us, Pete. What a great time of the year to be a basketball fan. College basketball conference tournaments. I've always said this is better, Pete, than the March Madness. That you're the type of guy, it's like Russ Amber. You know, Russ used to get pissed off because he'd go, you know, Gabe, people only call me when Mayweather fights, like once a year. They go on the shows. So, like, next week, Pete, I guarantee you're going to do all the radio hits and stuff. And, oh, let's talk to Pete Annapolis about college basketball. When the real stuff is going on right now, it's all downhill, actually, after the conference tournaments. I've always said March Madness is sort of like New Year's Eve. It's a big night, but it's for amateurs.
Yeah, exactly. And now you're seeing teams play within their conference. It's not. I kind of like it better that way.
There's just games all day long. What's your take on the conference tournaments, Pete?
Well, it's the best week of the season. There's no question about it. And it's great because guys like us, I mean, we get to watch all these games from the morning till night. And it's the madness in terms of it's win and survive. And you know, you win your conference tournament, you play the whole season, the conference. And if you're at the top, you're feeling good going into this week, because you want to continue what you've built upon the whole season. But if you're on the bottom of the conference and you had a terrible season, well, you know what? You still got a shot. If you get hot in 1 week, you could be dancing the following week. Sometimes I don't really agree with the conference tournaments because I think there's more value when you actually win a full conference title over the course of three months winning three games in a week. But that's the process. That's the rules. But at the same time, I always tell people this is one of the toughest weeks for basketball coaches, specifically assistant coaches, because this is the week when athletic directors decide to fire so many head coaches, and that has the domino effect on the assistants, the poor assistants. I was one of them. Well, when the head coach gets fired or gets relieved, you're gone as well. So we've seen it already. Kevin Stallings, Pittsburgh, only after 2 years, and an 0-19 regular season record in the ACC. He's gone, right? Lamont Smith, the head coach of San Diego, he had some problems in a hotel room this weekend at San Francisco. He resigned today, so there's going to be much more. Look at UConn.
Well, we should be a little bit more specific of...
Hotel room problems?
Well, hotel room problems, yeah. Like, it's not like he couldn't get the air conditioner to work.
That's right. That's my problem.
He allegedly, assaulted his wife.
Really? Allegedly?
Yeah. I don't know what happened, but domestic abuse incident in a hotel, yes. Incident in a hotel
room.
Trouble in a hotel. It's like, God, can't get the damn alarm clock to work, Cam.
Yeah, good point, Cam. And what about Memphis? Tubby Smith is, Penny Hardaway is going to be taking that job, too, they're talking about.
Penny Hardaway.
Yeah. Well, think about this, Pete. They're talking in Memphis, too. Tubby Smith didn't actually do a bad job with a program that's regressing, yet, hey, you get the big-name player, a guy on ESPN, former star. Hey, he can go to Memphis. So you said it. A lot of guys' days are numbered.
What do you think of Penny Hardaway to Memphis?
Well, I'm very close to this situation. I've known Tubby Smith for a long, long time. He recruited and signed one of my players, Bernard Cote, out of Montreal. Champlain St. Lambert played for him.
Yeah.
I was in Lexington a number of times. Tubby Smith came to Montreal on a foreign tour with Texas Tech. The guy is one of the greatest coaches we've seen because he's won at every school he's been. Tulsa, Georgia, Kentucky, Minnesota, Texas Tech. I mean, this year he's got 19 wins on a team that shouldn't even probably win 10. But the expectations of the Memphis fan base is ridiculous. I've been arguing with Gary Parrish from CBS Sports on a number of times on Twitter. I mean, he doesn't respect Tubby Smith. He thinks he should be gone. But like Tubby told the athletic directors and the administrators when he took over for Josh Pastner, this will take time to rebuild. He called it a process of 4 or 5 years. Tubby is an honest recruiter. He does things the right way. If you want things to happen like four with Calipari and Pastner, and then you're going to have all these transfers and all these kids leaving, well, I'm not that guy. So obviously when you could have a guy who played at Memphis and Penny, he was outstanding when they were called Memphis State, I believe.
State, yep.
But at the same time, they got the FedEx Forum. They got the 20,000 people. They want to fill up that arena. But do you want to win legitimately? Do you want to win authentically? Do you want to win where you don't have any FBI investigations on you? Well, Tommy's the guy. If you want to really...
Pete, we all in life need to, accept who we are. Memphis isn't a straight-up program. Like, they need the pastor type. They need a slick back hair, greasy hair, greaseball coach. You know what I'm saying? That's who they are. I'm just kind of like you said, they have Tubby. And, yeah, Tubby's your respectful guy that won't embarrass your program. That's not Memphis. You know what I mean?
You're saying Memphis has to get a little more cutthroat.
Yeah, Memphis is thinking, listen, we just tried it the clean way for a year and it sucked, all right? So let me ask you, Pete, about this then. Cam brought this up yesterday. Becky Hammon. And, Becky Hammon, of course, the assistant coach with San Antonio Spurs. And I've said before, I thought that Becky Hammon would be the first female coach of a men's professional team. Now, it's a little bold to say she's going to be an NBA coach in the next couple of years. But I sort of got the feeling if there's one organization that would do it, it would be Popovich that would have the power to sort of hand the keys over to her. Yet, I think she's going to have to climb the ladder a little bit, and there's serious talks right now that she could get the job up there at Fort Collins with Colorado State. What's your take on this, Becky Hammon? And listen, I love Becky. I think she's a great basketball mind. I think she's hot, actually, too. I actually like her. I like her game.
You like her look?
Yeah, I like her game on and off the court.
You like everything.
So I like Becky Hammon a lot. But I also wonder, I think she'd almost be better suited to coach the pros because they're less, they're less chauvinistic. I don't think NBA players are as chauvinistic as they think. Like Kawhi Leonard said to Becky Hammon, without her, he wouldn't be the player that he is.
Amazing.
For how he's helped her, but how she's helped him. But I wonder in a college program, Pete, you've been there, whether an 18-year-old kid, man, that's listening to gangster rap and stuff is going to, you know, if he's going to want to get yelled at by Becky Hammon. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's a great point, and I echo those sentiments. And I've always said this, Cam and Gabe. You know, I've been in the NCAA, you know, coaching staff. When you're a coach in the NCAA, you work 24 hours a day, 12 months a year, 365 days. I mean, every day, every responsibility of those 12 players on that team relies on you. They do anything wrong, it's your fault as a coach. As in the pros, you coach them for a couple hours at practice, you coach them during the game for a few hours. When they leave, they're on their own. It's their responsibility. Now, Becky Hammon is a great coach. One of my friends was an assistant coach on the Spurs Summer League team 2 years ago when she was the head coach, and I asked
her. Yeah, she won the championship too, right?
Yeah, I asked her about her, and he says, Pete, she's legit. She knows her stuff, X's and O's. She has the confidence. She's not afraid. And you
she
know
could almost have that motherly thing going with kids, yeah, though, too, right?
That's the thing. It could work,
where she
could
talk
could
to them.
Either way, a lot of the time, if you respect her and what she's done and her pedigree and her resume,
no, you might get that. It would be a good signing.
I think so.
I'm just saying, you wouldn't be able to get everyone. There'd be certain kids who'd be like, no,
certain people's families, though, would say, I want you to go.
But
to
sorry, do you think that she'll get it, Pete? Do you think it'll happen?
I think it's very close. Right, when you look at what's happening, the inclusivity, and we're seeing it all professional sports, not only on the sidelines and with coaches and assistants, and even in management, you're seeing some assistant general managers in the CFL and the NFL. I think if there's somebody that's going to break that and become the first head coach of a professional men's team in the NBA or even in the NCAA, it's going to be Becky. And if she has Pop on her side, who's going to vouch for her, I mean, you can't have a better person to give you the thumbs up on your resume and to speak to any owner or professional or athletic director. But here's the thing. If she wants that grind of the college game and the recruiting aspect and meeting kids and developing them, then, hey, so be it. Go ahead. And she'd be great going into a parent's home and speaking to mothers and saying, hey, I'm going to take care of your son for the next 4 years. I played here. I was an All-American. I'm not going anywhere. This is my dream job. Then she'll do great if she wants to be the one in the professional ranks where, hey, it's more about X's and O's. It's more about, you know, winning. But you know what? If you don't win, you're going to get fired pretty quick, whether you're a man or a woman. It's her decision. But something's going to give really quick. And if you look at what they had earlier, and I love Larry Eustachian and everything he's done, I mean, you're going on the opposite spectrum here.
Right? It's not that opposite. You go from a guy that really likes girls a lot
and keg parties
to a girl coach.
Larry likes the party.
That's the best way of putting it. Larry loves women.
Yes, he does.
See, that's the irony if he got replaced by a chick.
And let me tell you, I had Larry Eustachian on a couple of home visits with some of my players back in the day when I coached. Let me tell you, he is a riot. He should be on Sports Rage, Bankie. We should invite him.
Really?
He seems like a good sales guy, too.
Yeah, I like to drink beer with Larry.
Yeah, I bet Larry could sell. He seems like a guy that could really, really close a deal.
I love how mad, Pete, I love how mad he got during games.
Oh, yeah, he used to get going
like,
nuts.
Yeah, he looked like he really wanted to, like, punch the kids. Like, he was on the edge. So your boys right now taking on George Mason, 73-71 with 3 minutes
game.
Left.
What a game.
Clemson. Clemson on the verge of winning right now. Clemson haven't been in the tournament forever. They're up 87-82 right now on Boston College. What's your take on Clemson? A lot of people think they're dangerous, and other people think that they're going to get bounced and they're kind of frauds. Where you stand on the Clemson Tigers?
Well, you look at a school like that, and it's very difficult when you have a football school and you're trying to win as a basketball program. And we've seen this so many times, right? The LSUs and
they're trying to become like Michigan, right? Like, you know, Michigan
can do it all.
Texas is pretty good at it. Michigan are pretty much the best at it, where if you combine them both. Like Alabama, no.
No.
Tennessee, give them credit. Football team.
Ohio State usually had a rough time this time.
But you're right, Pete. Clemson, a football power, trying to get themselves into that upper echelon of basketball now, too.
Yeah, and I love what they're doing. As a group, you know, they're shooting, you know, 38% from the three. They got veteran experience. They're tough. You know, when you guys, you know, guys like Reed, Dante, Grantham, you know, Gabe DeVoe, you got Sheldon Mitchell. I mean, the kid Elijah Thomas. I believe there are five guys that average double figures in points. So when you have that, there's balanced scoring. And I think Clemson, I mean, when you're 22-8, you know, you're third in the ACC, you know that you're not just a team that could win a couple of games. I think this is a team that has a chance to even win the ACC tournament if they can get by. I mean, Boston College, my guy Jim Christian, survive in advance. He's had so many tough battles over the years. Has struggled a lot, but the last couple of years really saved his job. But I think Clemson is a team, as I mentioned, those guys have the experience. Those guys can score. And if you could shoot the three ball, and also, you know, their free throw shooting as a team, 75%. So when you talk about survive in advance and those close games in this NCAA tournament or conference tournament, these games are decided at the free throw line most of the time. So they have that on their side. So I think that, hey, they're a team that can go deep into this tournament.
Great point there, Pete. Survive in advance and look at Notre Dame last night. That's what they got it absolutely smoked by Virginia Tech in the first half of that game. But what did they do? They clawed back. Colson started to hit some crazy threes. They got confident. They hit their shots. And that's the dangerous thing about Notre Dame. You see their percentage from the charity stripe. It's absolutely fantastic. They don't kill themselves down the stretch. What do you think tonight? Notre Dame and Duke, this should be a thriller, Pete.
Oh, yeah. This is one of the great ones. And looking forward to it. And if you're anybody in the New York area, I mean, this is the one, if in ACC line, you want to be at this tournament. And what I love about
Barclays Center tonight, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
Notre Dame, guys, Notre Dame, yeah, New York's a place to be. You can go to both
tournaments.
Yeah, you go to MSG and the Barclays Center the same day, take in the Big East and the ACC. But Notre Dame now, Pete, now 9-2 straight up. So they played 11 games at the Barclays and they've won 9 of them. Big guy. They feel right at home there.
Well, here's the thing. Number one, Mike Bray, elite coach, knows how to win in conference tournaments. Notre Dame has won a couple of them or they'll get to the final. He has the experience. He understands what Duke is all about. He's not afraid of Duke. And his team, his players, are not intimidated by the Duke Blue Devils. So right away, that is something that you have. When you got a guy like Bonzi Colson, obviously 20-10, the guy's unstoppable, versatile, can get to the rack, can make big shots. I mean, obviously, he's going to be a key, but for them to win the game, you know, you need Matt Farrell to have a big game tonight. He's averaging 17 points a game, 40% three-point shooter. Can he make the big plays? Can he outplay Duval and get to the line and distribute and facilitate for his players? Obviously, Gibb Jr.'s have a great season. He's averaging over 15 points a game. I mean, they got some guys. I'd like to see what DJ Harvey could do. Gibian can play. Listen, it's going to be all about toughness. It's about getting those loose balls. But you have to keep Duke off the three-point line. When Duke is able to hit those three-point shots, it really entices them and it elevates them and it makes their D a lot better. Bagley Jr. is back. Obviously, he's going to do his thing inside. What is Wendell Carter Jr. going to do? What are those freshmen going to do? I think the key for them is their point guard play. So Duval is going to have to be the guy that's going to be the guy that really is the quarterback for Duke tonight. But I think Notre Dame has that in them, has that big, big play game. The lights are shining bright on the Fighting Irish. Here's another football school with tremendous basketball tradition as well. LaFonso Wallace. Can the Notre Dame Fighting Irish do it tonight? I think it's going to be a great game, fellas. I'm excited.
You know what? To be honest with you, I think Notre Dame basketball is better than football now.
It is.
I think they're surpassing.
You're right.
Yep.
They're more consistent.
They are more consistent. They get to the tournament all the time. Notre Dame will have a great year in football and then have a really
bad
year.
You want to talk about polar opposites. Coach Mike Bray, one of the nicest guys in classes acts in all of college sports and college coaching community. Then you got Brian Kelly, one of the biggest scumbags in all of coaching. Like, you know, what a parallel that they have. Like, I loathe Notre Dame. I grew up hating Notre Dame. Like, really? I don't like them. And I really don't like Brian Kelly, especially after the poor kid died filming the practice. Like, you know, but anyways, that's besides the point. But I like Notre Dame basketball. Pains me to admit it, but how do you not? Like, it's hard not to pull for Coach Bray, and especially against a jerk like Coach K. But that's besides the point right now.
I'll tell you a funny story.
All right, we got 1 minute. You got 1 minute, Pete. Yeah, bang it off. 1 minute.
Real quick, we had a point guard, Fermari Altidor Cesares, went to Gonzaga. Notre Dame was recruiting him. Come to Montreal. They're whining and dining him. We're sitting there, and they're like, you know, we really want you. And then the conversation goes, well, you know, who are some of the schools you can't say no to? And then the guy that I was coaching with said, well, Duke is Duke. You can't say no to Duke. And then the assistant coach, Sean Kearney, looked at us and, like, almost got up and almost left the room. He was so pissed off that we said that you can't say no to Duke. Anyways, the kid ended up going to Gonzaga.
Nice.
Well, it's nice to know.
We could say no to Duke.
Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, Pete.
We went to a gun range in Vegas and fired bullets at a Duke logo.
Sure did.
True story.
Hit it, too.
Ready and rage, ready. Yeah. You hit it more than I did.
I did.
I know, that was a pretty bad shot.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
March Madness has begun. Don't be fooled by the selection show. 2018 March Madness special right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and all of its media platforms. The DKMS 2018 March Madness special, Monday, March 12th at 4 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, hosted by the one and only Craig Carton. Get the edge on filling out your bracket with analysis from Greg Sussman, Mike Blewett, and special guest Yahoo's Brad Evans. Brad Evans is good. He knows his college ball. If you're looking to make some money, Blackjack Fletcher,
our boy Blackjack,
and some punk ass named Gabriel Morenci will help line your pockets. The broadcast will be simulcast on a Fantasy Sport Television Network YouTube live page. DKMS 2018 March Madness Special, March 12th, 4 p.m. Eastern. Right here on a Fantasy Sports Radio Network and all its social media platforms.
Sounds amazing. Hey, yeah, by the way, yeah, you talked about the...
I'll have to shave, I guess, on Monday.
Oh yeah, that's right. Going to be on TV. Yeah, I've noticed. You got a real nice...
It's funny because before...
12 o'clock shadow going
before
on.
Before, people used to tell me, they're like, Morenci, man, you're a consistent shaver. Right? You're always clean shaven. It's like, well, I look younger when I shave, and I was on TV every day. I'm not on TV every day, and I don't care how I look.
I got to be honest with you. You look like more of a goon with facial hair. Like, you look tougher. Like, if I were to see you in an alleyway when you're clean shaven, I go, that guy's pretty shiny.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's pretty tall, but he's thin. You got that look, like, even if I was in the alleyway, I'd give it a second look if you gave me a problem. I go, I don't know, that guy looks a little bit rough over there.
Dude, people look at me like that all the time.
Oh, in this neighborhood?
Some people, like, basically cross the street when they see me.
Girls, when you're walking
I have
down
some
the
people.
Street,
oh, no, there's a few ladies in my condo, man. Like, they look at me like I'm about to rob their purse or something.
I know. I was in the...
There's one dude in my hallway, man. He wears, like, a suit and stuff, and he's got his little BlackBerry, and he's walking around. And I swear, man, this guy's attitude. I see him in the hallway. I want to bet him. I want to stop him and say, dude, I bet you right now $1,000 I make more money than you do.
That guy really pisses you off.
Well, he's just... It's like all these people in this neighborhood, oh, they're God, I have this. It's like...
Everyone's a high roller.
Listen, you ain't got jack, all right? You got nothing.
I got issues with people at Morenci Studios not abiding by the rules of the garbage dump. And they throw everything down there. They're dog crap and everything. It disgusts me. Disgusts me. I'm walking into the building with another lady. She's got five pooches. They're all over the place. Like, I got to be honest with you, man. Like, I love animals and I'm down with... Like, my mom's got dogs.
People let their dogs relieve themselves in the front of the building.
I saw it. That's what happened.
An upscale building. I got dogs just taking a leak.
Yeah, no, this little pug looked at me and just bent over me. Just gave me one right before I came up to the studio. Yeah, he almost looked at me like, screw you. I could take a dump here. You can't.
It's funny you say that, Cam, because
that dog had
this
attitude.
Has never happened to me before, but I was in the elevator the other day, and there's mirrors on the walls in the elevator.
Yes, there is.
There was a bulldog, Cam, that was giving me the dirty eye.
That's what I know.
In the mirror. Like, he wasn't looking up at me.
No.
He was looking in the mirror and the reflection up.
He figured
it out. Sort of like with a mean-looking face at me. Yeah, very, very, yeah.
It's all, yeah.
I was like, man, even the dogs are giving me dirty looks.
I know. This building, it's tough. It's tough to get a high in this building. I've actually, like, been hung out to dry. Like,
The women are nicer. The women
right.
are nicer.
The women
building.
Are, yeah.
They'll never be a cool dude. There's, like, out of, like, 4,000 people here, there's, like, maybe three cool dudes. The chicks, it's hit or miss. Like, it's like 50-50 because it catches me off guard because now I'm pretty friendly actually to strangers. I'm a jerk in real life, but I'm actually friendlier to people I don't know.
I don't think you're a jerk. I don't know why you call yourself a jerk. Time you ever get angry, if things are going bad and you have a few drinks, that's when you usually get angry. But other than that, you're a pretty easy guy to deal with, I think.
So, yeah, I'm very friendly to, like, people and to strangers, etc. But, you know, if you live around just douchebags consistently, then eventually, you know, like now, I hate to admit it, but like now I don't. There's a few people, like there's one girl specifically, like if I see her coming and I'm in the elevator, I'll close the door on her.
Just to get away.
Oh, yeah, no, like I want to screw her and make her wait, like type thing.
Your neighbors aren't.
There's a few girls here that I've held the door, like I have a good memory like this. Like I don't hold the door for them ever again. It's like the other day I let the door just shut in this chick's face. I'm like,
You didn't say thanks.
You didn't say thanks last time.
Exactly.
So you think I'm your doorman?
Yeah. When I hold the door for you.
They act too. The other thing I don't like, I don't know about you, Cam, is when chicks get on the elevator and like, 12th floor, please. Can you hit 12? It's like, do I look like a freaking concierge to you?
Hit it yourself.
Really?
You got fingers.
Yeah, like, all right. I don't know. Really?
Your one neighbor gave me some cutout.
All right. How about, hit 12. All right. How about you take your top off? How's that sound? So how about you do it yourself? Why don't you get your boyfriend to do it? Like, some chick came in the other day. Like, she had one bag. She's like, 9, please. It's like, I'm standing there. I look at her. I'm thinking, you know, you don't even talk to me. What do you think? You know, push the damn button yourself, Betty.
It's a crazy, crazy area that we're in, though. And your one concierge, the morning guy, he's got a real attitude problem.
I don't deal with him.
I don't like that guy.
No, but the thing is, you got to understand in this building, it's not a normal building where you say hi to the concierges and stuff. Just ignore them. You know what I mean? It's like the opposite. Yeah. It's not like, hey. When I lived in Vegas, it was nuts, man. Like, it was nuts. Like, it was the most exclusive, high-end tailored building I've ever lived in. Cam, I used to come in like blasted. I was living like Vegas blasted. Yeah, like I'm telling you, dude, there were a couple of times.
Can't see.
Like I don't even remember like 2 days at a time type things, right? I'd come in blasted, dude. Man, they'd come out to the gate, security and stuff. Welcome home, Mr. Morency. They'd open the door for me. What's up, Johnny? Well, I'm all wasted in the lobby. As decadent as you were, you got the mister all the time.
I like it.
Every time, Cam, every time I would leave the building in the morning, have a nice day, Mr. Morency. I'd come home, hope your day was good, Mr. Morency. It was like I was George Jefferson. The concierge is there. But the thing is, it was you tipped them. So they knew it's Vegas, right?
Fins will take you
along. How I knew, too, they'd go, you have a good night at the casino.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, good night. Here's a 10 spot. You know what I mean?
They have a good line of questioning, asking how you did with your bets or at the tables. Smart. Very smart. Yeah, I noticed it. At Morency Studios here, things are a little bit meaner because, like, when I came home the other day, I couldn't believe it. My driveway was shoveled. And then I just say, what the hell? My neighbor came up. He goes, you know what? He goes, I know you're downtown a lot. You're doing stuff. He goes, I just felt like shoveling your driveway. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you could pay somebody $20 to do that. What a nice guy.
So what you're saying
is, I got
him
a bottle.
What you're saying is you don't maintain your property, and he was disgusted by the look of your driveway?
That's partly
true.
That's
probably what we're getting at.
Hey, I'm busy. Hey, that was nice of him to shovel.
You're pretty good, but it is true. Your neighbors have asked you before, hey, can you cut your grass there? Like, that's happening.
Actually, not the grass. We got a ladies. Actually, it's funny. They got a Polish women's troop that cut the grass in the condos, in the townhouses. No, snow. It's always snow.
They don't like,
oh, no.
You let the snow pile.
No, but you got to remember something. I'm on a corner, too. So when the plow goes around, he puts it all on my property. That's not my problem. That guy's a real... Anyway, my
neighbor...
That's
what I would say.
My neighbor's actually a good guy. He likes to help me.
What I would have told him, I said, worry about your own driveway, jackass. By the way, your daughter's pretty hot. See how that goes. She would have hit you over the head with a...
She is.
So who was it? Which neighbor was it? Was it the Filipinos or the Polish?
Not the hot Polish lady and her daughters, but it's it was
the Polish family. No,
it was a single man who's always on his bike. He's a healthy guy.
He figured, what the hell?
He's actually one of those nosy neighbors, but not mean. He just likes to know what's going on all the time. But you know, I told him, I go, listen, I do go to the games. You know, sometimes I don't come home for a couple days. So, hey, if you feel the need, guy likes to shovel my driveway. Nice guy.
Baseball season rapidly approaching. Check out FanTrax. You can create the ultimate dynasty keeper, a redraft fantasy league using FanTrax free commissioner product. Find out how it feels to have the deepest player pool. Multi-team trades plus salary cap and contract options at your fingertips. That's pretty cool. This is like a big-time fantasy league stuff if you want to run it, all of which are fully customizable. With FanTrax Treasury, you can set league entry fees and safely distribute payouts without a third party, so you don't have to track down owners for payment like me.
That's your game.
Yeah. Enter promo code AL. You know what, though? Everyone's always been paid.
Call me Al.
There's nobody out there that's like, no. Yeah, Morenci stiffed me for a fantasy league.
But you know what you have done? You have taken the monies from and taken them and bet with them and then worried about it later.
Yes, yeah.
I'm just saying, most of my commissioners, when they take like the few grand at the start of the year, they put it in like a safe place and don't touch it. But you always have, you have a different plan. Sometimes you need to dip into that money to take care of other problems before you get paid.
Honestly, I'll be honest, full disclosure. What I did with the money the last 2 years, I entered the Las Vegas Super Hilton contest.
with the league's money. That's awesome.
It worked out well the year we won 55,000.
Actually, that was a great thing. Yeah. That year was a great decision. Yeah. It was a very good year.
Yeah, here's your fantasy win.
It was a good year.
There you go.
See, that's awesome.
I'll be honest. There's one dude that fell through the cracks. He actually won the March Madness pool last year.
Who was that?
It's a dude in Vancouver. It's a buddy of Darsh's.
Oh, he's shaking you down?
No, he never brought it up.
What, that you owe money?
I got a lot of stuff on my plate.
Oh, actually, we do.
You know what I mean?
Like things.
I don't know. He never brought it up. It's like, by the way, it's like, yeah, Darsh's like, yeah, my buddy never got paid for the March Madness pool. I'm like, what pool? He's like, I'm like, last year. And I'm like, I didn't get one email. I don't know anything about this. And
how much money is it?
It's not good because I got to pay the guy like this week.
How much is it?
$1,000.
Oh, I was going to. Oh, geez. On top of the horse fees?
Yeah.
God, we have to have a family meeting. We got some real problems coming up here. We got to win some games.
No, this is no joke.
Yeah. No, this is no joke. 5:30, Stanford, UCLA. UCLA laying 4 points.
I was up to $980 in my sports book account.
Sad story.
Cam, I even thought when I get to 1,000, I'm going to pull it. I'm like, Vegas, this is perfect. I'll pay for the hotel.
So you're telling me $10 made that decision? $990? That's where you were instead of 1,000? Oh, God. Oh, buddy. I don't like that. Don't worry. Things are going to go well, though. Things are going to turn around.
Enter promo code AL.
Call Al.
That's Al. AL, American League, yeah. AL, Al. Caps. Sign up for a chance to win 10 private conversations with Fantasy Baseball Hour host Al Mequar, valued at $109. Find out why Fantrax is the home of fantasy sports. Check out Fantrax today. Do it. Remember the other day, Cam, I was talking about Pete Rose.
Yes, about...
He gave 100 baseballs.
That's right, free, and didn't want any money in return.
Didn't want any money in return. He gave 100 baseballs to the Expos charitable, Expos Fan Fest charitable dinner that's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Class move.
Now, every time Pete does something like that, Cam, there's always something on the other side.
You're saying there's a catch?
Well, you know what? It's just funny that we talked about Pete and about how he's not as greedy as people say that he is.
There's another side.
Well, we told the story actually about how he actually is pretty greedy because he wanted like $105 for an autographed baseball.
Exactly.
And he was sitting there alone. I was drunk. Could have just given it to me. I said, I got $40. And he wouldn't do it.
What if I was alone?
It wasn't Pete. It was the guy because I didn't shake Pete down, but his guy was like, no, we can't do that. I was like, well,
would you rather have one customer than no customers?
Would you rather $40 or not?
That's what I said. If I was there, I definitely would have taken the $40.
So Pete Rose, actually, we're going to Vegas, Cap, so we can do this if you want. We can meet Pete Rose and go to dinner with him next week. What a great deal it is, Cam.
Four guests.
Yeah.
Four signed baseballs by Pete Rose. Four photos with Pete on your camera or phone. Airfare and hotel to Las Vegas not provided. $5,000 for four guests. Additional guests are $500 per guest. Restaurant time and date will be scheduled by our scheduling department. Dinner tab will be paid by guests. Stories to last a lifetime. No way. Yeah, that's brutal. Like, what restaurant are you going? Like, there's nothing saying it's a steakhouse.
This should be $500 for everything.
No offense. This is worse than our golf tournament. Like, that's brutal. That's brutal.
Now, just to recap, people, Pete Rose is essentially charging you $5,000 to take him to dinner in Las Vegas. And in exchange, he will give you four signed baseballs and four photos for $5,000. And he's not even paying for the dinner. It's not like, oh, yeah, we're going to go. We got the buffet at Caesar's Palace. I got a deal here. You pay for the dinner.
That makes no sense. It should be all inclusive.
So essentially, P. Rose is charging $5,000
to hang out.
Yeah, four people. So $1,250 a person to hang out with P. Rose and eat dinner.
Suddenly, those 100 balls don't feel as generous to me. I'm with you. I don't like this at all.
Is he absolutely insane?
Like, that's nuts. What would you pay? What would you pay for that? A couple hundred bucks?
I'd pay $200 to eat dinner with P. Rose.
I agree. I was going to say even $250, $300, you could go, you know what, nice dinner, nice steak. Probably get a couple stories.
I want dinner and alcohol included.
Oh, exactly. Oh, yeah. For a nickel, all you can eat buffet, all you can drink, memorabilia from Pete, and stories that last a lifetime.
Like, who the hell does Pete Rose think he is?
I know. God.
It's like, hey, listen, we love you, Pete. We get it. You're good.
You're hard up for money.
You're a good hitter. We get it. I don't know. Like, you know, at least they could say, Cam, get all of Pete's top March Madness best bets. You get Pete's March Madness best bets, best horse picks of the day.
That's right.
Best horse picks of the day, and Pete's Major League Baseball exclusive future pack.
Exactly.
In which Pete gives you the division winner for each division. And a couple of surprise future over-unders.
That sounds more like five.
Like, at least then we're talking.
Yeah, five.
Like, Peter, at least what are you giving us here? Like, oh, like, honestly, $5,000. Cam, you could sleep with Stormy Daniels for $5,000.
Could you?
Well, now, before you could have.
Yeah, not now.
Now it's probably 20.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe more.
Most of the adult actresses, Cam.
That's the going rate?
Most of the adult actresses are companions in Las Vegas, actually, and Los Angeles.
Companions.
Yeah, they're hookers.
Yeah, hang out at the bar, have a couple drinks, and
no. They're online and stuff, and the money's got to clear first, and you know, you pay. Stormy Daniels isn't kicking it in the lounge over at the Bellagio, Cam. Working the room.
They've really upgraded.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
I wish Tony was here now, but Tony... Yeah. Tony's taping something. He'll be joining us at 6.
We can refresh Tony's memory at 6 o'clock.
So we're talking about Sapphire in Las Vegas. March Mayhem viewing party. I got to tell you, Kev, there's a lot to view at Sapphire. The double team. $75 per guest.
You see the brackets? $699.
What does that mean?
For your team. So that's, I guess, that would be your posse, right?
Oh, that's right. Price based on, so $699 essentially.
Yeah, that changes from $75.
Well, do you get to sleep with Stormy Daniels? What do you get in this deal?
You get
six entries into two premium bottles of Grey Goose or Patron with mixers and Red Bull, complimentary transportation to Sapphire. That's crap. What are you getting? That?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
All right. This one's better here. Exclusive daytime March Madness package. $50 per guest. 2 hours open bar. College Hoops daytime special. Includes buffet. Complimentary. That's not bad. $50.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
That one has a buffet. So what did you get? You get 2 hours.
2 hours open bar and a buffet.
That, for $50? That's way more in your wheelhouse. That's the way to go. That's a good deal, man. That's a really good deal when you think about it. I think that's the way to go, rather than the 699 team special. Screw that, man. That's a scam. So basically, you're paying $350 for a bottle. That's
yeah,
what you're
they have.
For.
So this is the that's the.
Oh, those these people are too.
That's the scene. So it's like a pool party.
Oh yeah, they're too good looking for me at this party. I don't know.
Yeah, but the good thing is they have to feign interest.
Oh. They could be disgusted and still. Well, the guy's having a great
that's,
time.
Yeah, Kev, I don't know. That's the whole thing about like yeah, about a gentleman's club.
I understand. Yeah.
See,
understand.
Yeah. Like if we went to like yeah, if we went to like Club Encore during the day at one of these pool parties, yeah, we're getting laughed out of the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. We like you and I. People are gonna be like, look at the fat and the skinny guy over there. Right. What are they doing in the pool?
It's true. So true.
All these ripped, like, ripped kids and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, we're not welcome here. Like, you know, you and I fit in more at the pool over at the plaza.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I got no problem with that pool. But,
yeah, Sapphire, the pool parties are off the hook.
Oh, yeah, they look pretty good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they have these daytime parties in Vegas. So it's essentially a strip club, but they have, like, a pool outside. And they have, like, you know, cabanas and TVs. So you can watch the games out there. And, yeah, you basically, you know.
Yeah, get to watch the pool party because we're not going in.
It's not bad.
No, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
$50.
I think I'll keep my clothes on though.
It's like nude beaches.
It makes me want to go to the gym.
I've been to a nude beach before. It's not.
It's not as funny as you think it is.
No, it's not like a. It's not like a XXX. It's not like.
No,
like
people are just Stormy Daniels around.
And, yeah, Stormy Daniels and Lisa Ann aren't lounging on a beach.
No, you're seeing some seniors who just like to take it off, and they just like to hang.
Yeah, the nude beach I was on was like German senior citizens and stuff.
Look at me in my trunks. Yeah, the guy whips out his Speedo. Uh oh, here's the party. The
rest were saggier than Tony Sincatis. It's not fair to take shots at Tony when he's not here to defend himself. Like, you know, normally, like, he's in the background and he'd jump in. Hey, guys, that's funny stuff, guys. But, Tony can't join. Tony will be with us at
6 o'clock. He's doing stuff.
All right, so you and I are both, we share this pick, Colorado Buffaloes in Arizona. Ugh, it's getting away from us right now.
It is.
74-63. Although the total is 141, so the total's coming into play here, Cam. But positivity, man. Let's get the back door here.
I'd love the back door. Hey, my Oklahoma State game's gone to the birds. I have them plus six.
Man, I should have jumped in.
They're down 11.
What did I tell you?
I need a late run.
Man, Kansas really came back.
They sure did. Like they were hanging the whole game.
I know. You warn me, and I say it every year that I'm taking Kansas. But you know Kansas are going to the Final Four.
I don't know, Gabe.
They're that good, Cam. Like, I don't know why people don't get this about this team. They won the Big 12 for like the 12th consecutive year, dude, or 14 straight years.
They're hard to trust because you talk about how history repeats itself. It's hard for me to see Kansas going deep because they'll always find a way to screw it up. That's what they do. In the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight round, they'll lose.
That's not really fair. They go deep. You know, they lost in a championship game, what, 5-6 years ago?
No, but years ago they lost to Northern Iowa when they were, before that program even got good. It was just, I'm just saying, years and years and years and years, they never achieve where they should. They always underachieve. They might have a good team this year, but I don't know, man.
I do agree, though, with the sets that we talk about, and we'll take a look at the board tonight, that history repeats itself. Certain programs, you sort of throw out the records at this time of the year, Cam. You know, today VCU found a way.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people like Dayton. VCU's just one of those teams. They show up when they need to.
Yeah, we were hoping Colorado. Colorado pulled off a big upset yesterday. 7.5-point underdogs. Now they're getting 11. 11.5. Am I getting 11 or 11.5 here?
11.5.
I'm getting 11.
You need that half.
No, I don't have the half. I'm getting 11.
Yeah, I like the extra half.
They're down by 12.
Yeah, and my other game, Oklahoma State, is down by 11, so I need the plus six. These games, leap of faith right now.
Maybe you can get that back door.
I'm hoping, but Kansas, they're laying it on thick in the second half. We got a couple games going off at in about 20 minutes time. I've already clicked on UCLA at -4, and I have them in a money line parlay too with some stuff later on tonight. I don't believe in Stanford, Gabe, but I'm with you on this one. I really like when you brought up this game.
Well, the line was three yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday, I told people last night that this was one of my best bets of the day today, and I knew the number was going to go up. It was -3. It's up to 4, but I don't know. The 4, I hate laying points, Cam. But
no, I prefer dogs, too.
The money line's -192.
Sounds a little bit high.
I know.
It was 175.
God, I lost two games yesterday. Like, yesterday, I laid the 5 with Marquette. Great call by Mark Lawrence with DePaul. DePaul covered.
Yeah, that's there's one of the
Marquette were up all night too. And DePaul scored a couple of points late. They were never really like they're never going to win the game, but they ended up losing by three. They were getting five. I never lay points. I laid points with the Lakers last night. Lakers, Cam, were up by like 12 with like 3 minutes left, man. They end up winning by one. It was 105-94. The score ended up being 108-107. You get these crappy young teams. They're not used to closing games out, right? You can't lay points with these type of teams.
Want to hear the craziest thing, though? I'm starting to learn from this.
Made some mistakes.
No, this live betting stuff, sometimes they rope you in. When it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. And I've noticed the line fluctuations. Like last night, for example, Oregon State, even though Washington was tied with them or up, it was a bad, bad line. And everyone's like, ooh, I'm going to click Washington because they're getting 2.5 and 3.5 live betting. And then you saw what happened. The game goes to overtime. Oregon State wins outright. That was a bait line that was like the oldest bait line going because the math didn't make sense. It should have been the other way. I'm like, why the hell would you lay points with Oregon State when they were down to Washington? It was a weird line. And people pay the price. It's hard to
this Colorado game's getting away from his cabin. It's 13 now.
I know it is. It's sometimes hey,
There's a buck 18 left.
There's a lot of games tonight. There's a lot of games tonight.
There's a buck 18 left. So good. I'm glad you brought it up actually because you're right. There's a lot of games that are coming up here, and I've actually got picks for them. So let's start off right now with the game that everybody's talking about: Cal State Bakersfield and Utah Valley State. UVS, VGS,
VGS, UVS.
UVS, yeah, Utah Valley State. You don't hear that much, UVS.
No, don't hear UVS. They're 21-9.
They're gonna mess Bakersfield up.
It's 8.5.
They're gonna mess them up.
So you're on UVS.
Like laying points. I don't like doing the NBA. College is a little different. These conference tournaments, the dogs are they tend to be to play, but. Bakersfield, Cam, the only thing worse than spending a night in Bakersfield is watching their basketball team play.
They suck. 12-17.
Bakersfield, California is like barren, like just...
Never been to Bakersfield. Yeah. I've been to a lot of places.
It's like going to... thinking of like a good comparison. I can't.
Like to Bakersfield?
Yeah.
It's just rough. Is it rough?
There's nothing there. It's in the middle of the desert.
No, just nothing. It's a barren land. Tumbleweed.
Exactly. There's like tumbleweeds.
There's a grocery store, maybe
Dodgers have a farm team there.
Can't be that smug. Can't be that bad then if they got a farm team there.
Well, like A-ball type thing. Like then again, rookie ball,
you're living in Los Angeles and stuff like that. You're not going to be attracted to Bakersfield.
No, but people in California pretty much like call Bakersfield. It's like the dump of California type of team. No offense to anyone. Hey, I love California. I'm just calling out. If you happen to be in Bakersfield.
Yeah, we love you. Thanks for listening.
I saw Slayer at Bakersfield.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Bakersfield. Cal State Bakersfield, Cam. 12-17. Taking on Utah Valley State. Utah Valley State, you mentioned they're 21-9, this basketball team. They put up 78 points a game, Utah Valley State. They played Bakersfield twice this year. They beat them. This was on Bakersfield's home court. Utah Valley University, UVU actually is their official abbreviation. They beat them 70-47.
That's a thumping.
So they beat them by 23. When they played at Utah Valley, they beat them 75-42.
Wow. Yet the line's 8.5?
They've beaten them by 23 and 32 points this year.
Why is it 8.5? Why?
Cal State and Bakersfield, they've alternated wins and losses over the last couple of games. And look, in Utah Valley's last game, Cam, they beat Seattle 73-47. You just notice a pattern here. Like, they're basically
they smoke teams. Yeah
that's it's a bad conference.
When they win big.
Yeah, it's a bad conference, and they smoke them. So they beat them by 32 and 23 this year. I'll lay the 8. I'll buy the half point. I'll make it 8.
I was going to say, what do you think about a 6 o'clock game that's kind of caught my eye? Duquesne and Richmond. Duquesne 16-15. The Richmond Spiders 11-19. They're not your same Richmond Spiders. I think I'm going to take the 2 points with Duquesne.
This is a weird
What do you think about the Dukes tonight?
You were just talking about traps. This is the trap.
This is a trap.
Why is the number what it is? Think about that.
Yeah, Duquesne should be favored. Duquesne should be favored by two.
Why is it 11-19 team favorite, Cam?
You're playing with my mind, man. I don't know.
It's amazing, though.
I know.
You and I are both so stupid. We say things all the time that are true.
That are smart, and then we do the opposite.
Ourselves.
Yeah, it's very true.
You just talked, oh, it's a big trap. You got to read between the numbers. And you're like, oh, I kind of like this game. Duquesne's only laying two against an 11-19 team.
They're getting to.
Yeah, so they're getting to. So it's like, why? Like, why is the number what it is?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll get to that game in a second here. So yeah, just for the guys here. So Utah Valley State, when this game's at 5:30 Eastern, actually. So you got to get this in. We're going to play it minus the 8. I'm with you, Cam. I'm on UCLA. We're going to lay the 4. It's going to be a battle, man. UCLA let teams hang around, and Stanford are actually playing pretty good basketball right now. They've been on a little bit of a run, man. They've won 6 of their last 7 basketball games. UCLA and Stanford, when they played this year, was 89-73. UCLA beat them in Los Angeles, and up there in the Bay Area, Stanford beat them in overtime, 107-99.
Ooh, high scoring.
Last year, the third game they played was 89-75. Total's 154. I think it gets there.
Yeah, you love overs. So.
Yeah, it's just a little. If it was 147.5, I'd be a little bit more intrigued. But in these conference games and the conference tournament games, teams, man, they go down swinging. You know,
It's your last fight. If you're gonna, it's kind of like that. Say, if you're gonna get in a fight and you're gonna lose, you land a few punches.
But I don't
want to get knocked out.
I don't want to force it though. So we'll just play UCLA minus the 4. So we're playing UCLA minus the 4. We're gonna play Utah Valley minus the 8. And here's one at 6:00. We'll get to Duquesne and Richmond.
I wanted to go over one more. Yeah, remember Duquesne?
Duquesne.
Yeah. I want to go.
That's an inside joke. Yeah. I know what
inside
I'm saying.
Inside joke.
North Carolina Central and Savannah State, Cam. Listen, these guys are never lined, okay? They don't have point spreads. There's never point spreads for these guys. There was a point spread. There was a game earlier this year for one reason or another. It was a light night in college basketball, and the sports books put up numbers for, like, everything. So they put up numbers for Savannah State and Hampton that night. The total was 179.
Wow.
And same thing. I was like, they're just trying to scare us off of betting it. Let's go over the number. The final score, 114-102.
Oh, my God.
Let me read you Savannah State scores here. 94-81, 85-75, 121-92. Their NBA scores, 114-102, 108-106, 97-94, 111-99, 107-100, 100-86.
So you got a DraftKings stack on North Carolina Central tonight because Savannah State doesn't play defense.
The total is 168.5 in this basketball game.
You're saying it could get to 200.
I don't see why. Now listen, North Carolina Central don't score though. This is the problem. You know, with this. They still score though. Listen, Savannah State score 87 points a game. They give up 94.
Yeah, that's big.
They give up 94. So North Carolina Central scores 73 a game.
So make it more like 80.
You meet it exactly in the middle here. So let's call it 84. You know, 73, let's call it 83 points. NC Central gets to the mid-80s. Savannah State gets to the mid-80s. Therefore, we have the total of 168.5. And I'll tell you one thing, too, about Savannah State. Even though, you know, they're 15-16, Savannah State, they play a tough schedule. Like, it's a little bit deceptive. So they're 15-16. Let's look at some of the teams that they played earlier in the year.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions,
DailyRoto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Colorado Buffaloes did not cover. The game did go over. Right now I'm sweating out Georgia and Missouri. Need over 131. It's 59-57 with 3 minutes and 56 seconds remaining. Man, these games when they're this close, though, you don't get a lot of points laid because nobody fouls. All right, we got a couple of games tipping off in a couple of minutes here. We're going to jump in on Utah Valley State. They've absolutely crushed and massacred Bakersfield this year. They've beaten them by 23 and 32 points. I don't see why it's going to be any different this afternoon. We got UCLA and Stanford. I like UCLA. The number's gone up. I hope it's not a trap, Cam. We'll lay the 4 points with the UCLA Bruins. I got to be honest with you. I really liked it at 3, and I don't like buying a point down from 4 to 3. But I liked it at 3, and I'm scared they're going to win by 3.
The problem is when you're buying points, too, you see the discrepancy sometimes. Like 1 point, it goes from like 10 cents to 35 cents and whatever.
It depends on the book, and it depends on the situation. Yeah, right.
But like a lot of the time I've been noticing for this tournament, they're really jacking it. They're really jacking it.
140.
140?
I got to pay 30 cents.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. 1 point.
That's insane. Like, it's not like you're getting an extra point in football or something else.
Some books are better than others at this stuff. But
it used to be eight. Like, consistently, the book that I dealt with, it was about 18 cents a lot of the time. You'd get like, in basketball, it was pretty close. But I've been noticing a lot of people are playing the conference tournaments. They know that. They're not stupid. And they want you to pay a premium right now. That's the thing. If you're in to win it, man, they're going to charge you. They're not screwing around.
All right, we're jumping in right now. We're jumping in.
We're jumping in.
Utah Valley. Utah Valley, -8, click.
What about Fresno State and San Diego State, a game that goes off in about 10 minutes' time? Very interesting game.
Good game.
Yeah, it's a good game, exactly. What do you think? 4 points in that game. I want to take a shot with Fresno there, but I don't know.
I sort of lean Fresno.
Yeah.
Let me just get this UCLA.
Fresno's getting, they're getting 4 points in this game. I think they can get it done. I think that's a strong play. I'm still, I don't know why this said Duquesne game's a trap. I hope it's not because I've already clicked it. Now I feel stupid. What's the line movement, man?
Yeah, we'll get
a big speech, and then we'll see what happens there.
We'll get to that game in a second. All right, let me just get this. So we got Bakersfield in, -8. Going to click this UCLA. I'm doing it. It's -3. It's -3.
Yeah, get
three.
In there. Yeah. What's the money? Is the money line still like
it's -140.
Wow. No, one, so, minus 190.
It's more, minus 190. So that's what I'm thinking. Do I want to lay -3 for -140, or I just lay -190 on a money line? But I don't really want to lay 190.
No, 190 is very, very. That's a big price to pay for a few points.
I usually tap out. 170 is like really. I don't even like that.
No. I like 155 and under.
Yeah, but I'll go as high as 65.
Yeah,
it's sort of like in baseball. I'll go up to 175 for a pitcher, but I don't really like. You can lose money betting on baseball. I've learned my lesson. In my younger years, Cam, I used to bet more baseball favorites, and it's a dangerous way to bet baseball. We'll talk about that once the baseball season.
No, dogs starts. Are the way to go in baseball for sure. Like, yeah. And I'm not just saying that. Like, I know guys who play baseball and they blindly bet underdogs because you win year after year after year, and you can't lay some of these big favorites -270. It's nuts.
Yeah, Fresno and San Diego State, total feels a little low at 137.5. This isn't Steve Fisher, San Diego State Aztecs anymore. They play a more up-tempo style of basketball.
I think they can get up and down, play a little no defense there, get a nice little spurt.
SDSU, these teams are on the bubble right now. Fresno should get in. There's not a lot of love or respect, though, really, for the Mountain West, to be honest with you, from the committee. So I wouldn't imagine too many teams getting in besides the winner. They played twice this year, Cam, and both these games went over the number that we got posted here. So 137.5 is the total in this basketball game. They just played recently, actually. They played February the 6th. It was 79-61. So that gets us to 140. They played on January the 17th. It was 77-73. Gets us to 150. So you notice a common theme here. San Diego State
You know, they played four unders in a row with a push. But listen to the totals. They played Nevada. It was 79-74. Got to 153.
Yep.
They played against Boise State. The total was 144. They got to 138. That would go over this number. They played against San Jose State. They got to 130. The total was 142. That one stayed under. Air Force. But those are lower scoring teams. Fresno like to run a little bit. Fresno are a little bit up tempo. They both score. You want to talk about evenly matched teams here? Fresno State averaged 77.6 points per game. San Diego State averaged 77.4 points per game. So you got a 0.3 differential there. Fresno gave up 68.9. And San Diego State gave up an even 68. You can't get any more even.
So why don't you take the points?
Very good point.
That's the thing. If you're getting four, Fresno can get it done.
Well, listen, Fresno have beaten them three straight times.
Yeah, it's not like football we talk about. Oh, yeah, tough to beat the team four straight times. Well, they can do it. Fresno State, man, we win one for the Valley. You could do it. Why not?
They're both playing good basketball right now. San Diego State riding a six-game win streak right now, straight up.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Coming in hot into the tournament. Very interesting.
Yeah, meanwhile, Fresno lost their last game, but it was at the Pit, and it went to overtime. They lost 95-86.
That seems respectable. It's not like they rolled over. And going into the Pit is a very, very difficult place to play.
I'm more of a San Diego State fan than I am Fresno.
I don't know.
But
Fresno's been good to me recently in football this year. They were huge underdogs. They were actually a darling. For people that bet underdogs, Fresno was great in college football. They actually leave a nice taste in your mouth recently. They've been covering. So, you know what? Sometimes you have good affiliations with certain programs and schools. You know what? I got no problem with Fresno.
All right, we're going to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to get in there too. I think we're both going to take a dip in Fresno waters.
Hey, I'm taking a plus four. I'm going to buy the half point.
It's 3.5 right now. On my book, it's 4. Interesting.
Really?
Very interesting. Yep.
You got a better book tonight.
I'm not on the internet, so maybe the line went down a half point while I've been offline here. Because I don't know.
Yeah, don't get on because it'll just.
Is that what's going to happen? Maybe I'll just stay off. I got nothing. Yeah, I was reading old scores.
All right, so, yeah, we'll take Fresno plus the 4, and I'm going to go over the 137 in that game. It's 137.5. We'll make it 137.
You love overs. Like, do you ever – when was the last time you bet an under?
I do have an under for
tonight?
Game. Actually, you know what? The game's actually starting in a few minutes. I'm glad you brought it up. Yes, I'm going to shock you, Cam. I have an under.
In what? Can you give me the conference?
Let me see.
I'm going to guess.
It's such a
– Oh, it's a random conference? Nothing big?
It's such a bad conference. I was thinking, what damn conference is it? But it's out west.
Oh, the Big West? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's in the Big West?
Big West.
Okay.
I'm going under the number in a game. It's actually starting in a few minutes.
Oh, Long Beach and...
yes, sir.
Yeah, and who else are they? Who are they playing? Cal State Fullerton?
Man, they take these games off the board right on the... Man, damn, I got to get this in game now. Yes, sir. Long Beach and Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah.
Under. Grab the under, guys.
What's the total? What's the total in that game? Is it about $1.38?
152.
152?
153. 152.5. 153.
That seems high for teams that can go on offensive droughts.
Yeah, you know me. I'm an over-better.
You sure are.
But, yeah, I like the under in this game. Listen, both these teams, big under teams, Cam. Cal State Fullerton, 8-16 to the under this year. Long Beach, 13-17. To the under. How about this? The last six times they play. Look at all the unders, Cam, when they play.
Under 153. Under 155. Under 156.
Under
156. Under 149.5. Oh, my God. Under 149. Under 132. Wow, the last over. So they've had two, four, six, seven straight unders.
And look,
one over.
Look at Long Beach form right now. Under, over. Over, like they're 8-2 to the under in their last 10, Long Beach.
Man. And notice how what they were doing with the totals. They're starting high. Even when they're going to low totals, they're still not getting
still that. A little high. Yeah. Listen, as somebody that bets overs all the time, to get to 153, man, you need kids hitting shots. These games are only 40 minutes. Like to get to 153, you need a clean ride, a couple of three balls, a couple of runs. I'm going under. I don't often bet unders, Cam, but yeah, I'm going under the number.
I like that. So you got to mix it up every once in a while. Not every game's going over. Like, look at some of the games today. They look like they were going over, and then they have scoring droughts. So, like, even 71-70 in that Alabama game.
Often happens.
Yeah, it happens all the time in college. That's the thing. It's so
streaky.
Son of a bitch.
Like, right now, I got Georgia-Missouri over 131. This game... You know,
droughts.
Yeah, it was. They, you know, was going over the number. They're at 122 right. There's only 12 seconds left. I'm not going to be able to get. There's not enough time to hit enough foul shots on the way out there.
Can you tell me what happened in the Kansas game? I can't get a score. I've been refreshing it, but yeah, I don't have a connection. I was going to say I was hoping for Oklahoma State to come back and maybe hit a couple threes at the buzzer for me, but
final score 82-68 Kansas Jayhawks.
That's not a cover. That's a loss.
So they got to 150. No, that's not a cover. They won by 14.
Yep, got it. I got them at 6.5. Not good enough.
Man, they were down, too.
They were. Oklahoma State was winning that game. I should have bought out of it to Kansas, but, you know, sometimes we just don't pay attention.
Gambling's so much funner when you win.
It sure is, buddy. It sure is. It sure is.
All right, fan-controlled fantasy football league. Do you love watching your fantasy player score a winning touchdown? Now imagine you actually got to call that touchdown play. The Fan Control Football League is putting play calling into the hands of fans with real professional players running the action. From drafting rosters to voting on trades, the FCFL is one part coach, one part GM, and one part owner. So the fan, if you get into this, you're a part coach, part GM, part owner. This is all done through a fan token. Fans earn fan tokens each time their vote yields a successful outcome. The more fan tokens a fan earns, the greater power attributed to their future votes. Visit fcfl.io to learn how you can take control. And the cool thing, if you're wondering right now, well, I don't want fan tokens. No. The best performing fans will be eligible for many prizes, including a cut of the $1 million championship purse.
That sounds like money, not tokens.
That's right. Visit fcfl.io. It's not .com, guys. It's .io. I've never heard of .io before, but it is 2018. There's a lot of things I don't know. The FCFL, where you're in control.
What was that thing?
That's a great concept.
Yeah, no, that is a wicked concept. We talked about it. Like NTN at the bar, you call the plays, you get points, and I like that. Instead of getting a pound of wings or an extra drink or, you know, a coupon or for a tab, you get actually credits that are real money, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, and it's sort of.
And it makes you the GM, coach. Yeah, you control your fate.
Yeah, you know, you can never, you know, none of us going to be have enough money to be like Jerry Jones and own Papa John's and Dallas Cowboys.
Great point.
So, you know, this you can call plays, be a GM, you can get involved, sort of. It's like you're a real owner. This is the future of fantasy sports, more interaction. And, you know, great job. It's a great, great concept. I'm definitely going to start playing and getting involved with this. You know, we all think we're better coaches than real coaches,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, now you get a chance to prove it. Great point.
We all think we're better coaches. So we were talking about Conflict Diamond a couple of days ago on the program. And, you know, speaking of ownership and teams, and basically we are I don't know. We're basically, what's the team I'm looking for here?
The Browns?
Yeah, the Cleveland Browns. Yes. Yeah, no, that's a little harsh. Yeah, we've actually won, right?
Buccaneers?
It's a little bit harsh.
How's Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Is that about right?
I'm thinking of like a college team.
Hawaii?
Yeah, Hawaii's playing later. So, Ball State. So basically, we're like Ball State.
We're Ball State.
Yeah, we were ready to tap out. Like our season was coming to an end.
Yeah,
and we had discussed how basically, in the coming weeks, we will no longer be in the horse racing industry. Mm-hmm. I even openly discussed violating ethics rules and not caring that if I lost my license.
Great point.
Since I was like, well
remember, you
know what what? Suspend me.
Before, sorry to interrupt your story, but remember you said if we took action at the horse or whatever, we probably would have made like $20,000 that night. We talked about it, remember? But you can't do it because you're a member of the board.
I know.
I don't want to become a bookmaker anyway because I like people. I don't want to take their money. I want to take strangers' monies.
Yeah, if I became a bookie, man, with my luck, man, guys would start hitting 16 parlays.
That's right. Hey, Moretzi, I hit a 12-game parlay. Where's the money?
$38,000. I'm slow paying a guy that wins 1,200 in a fantasy league.
It's a great I know. He still hasn't been paid.
I'd be like that bookie on Seinfeld. Sorry, Jerry, I don't have your money. But you're a bookie.
I know.
So we were talking about Conflict Diamond, and now so we got a race this week.
Sunday?
Yeah, we're feeling good about it. Sunday, Flamborough, race one.
Ooh! Hold on. Race number one.
Race one. So it's completely different. I like the fact that everything's just different.
Yeah.
We've never raced like race one. I like this.
Race one. So Gary Guy does his pre. So probably around, I would say, 6:25, 6:30 Eastern makes a lot of sense. Is that correct?
Race one. Here, let me.
Trust me, I watch.
You said, in the summer, it's 6:45. They might move it up in the winter.
Live post time, 6 o'clock. Ooh. I told you. That's the thing about these winter races. I noticed they start
post
earlier.
So means we'll be running at about 6:03 type thing, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know if he might break down like the card or whatever, but yeah, probably around 6:10.
Okay, 6:10. Six means they're coming on the track.
Yeah.
That's right. All right, not in the gate. So 6.
But be ready to watch at 6.
Yeah, so 6 o'clock exactly. So, yeah, we're in the first race.
I like that. We're always in the 8th, 7th, or 8th. It's something different. I agree.
I like a lot of themes here about number one, and we want to end up number one. We're in the first race,
yes,
and we have the one hole.
Beautiful. Just come out when you need the one
We've
hole.
We've never had the rail before.
You know what we need
now,
to
how
do?
How much is this? Basically, like, I was talking with Cody Saftick, and he said, listen, if we get a good start,
that's it.
We have the rail. We're going to hold our ground.
That's what you have to
do. And if we can't win, like, we got problems.
I was actually watching some harness racing today. I met a guy from Woodbine about some stuff going on. But anyway,
like, we can't complain about the ride this time. Like, you know what I mean?
No, but you know what happens? When the car comes out to pull, Conflict Diamond needs to be, like, not coming.
You need to take off.
That's what I'm talking about. When you're in the one hole, it doesn't matter. You go to the front and worry about the rest later because, you know what? We have our driver, Jody Jameson. He can take him in. He can take him out.
Because if you're slowing down, you can block them.
That's the thing. You have to control traffic when you're in that situation. You control the traffic. And you know what you do? And if he's holding on to a lead, don't you do? You cut the guy off coming around. All the things that they did to us.
We never control traffic. The only time we ever did, we were 9 legs ahead.
Wire to wire.
So it wasn't really traffic, but it's been a problem for us. We've often had the 7th hole, the 6th hole. We're always boxed in.
We've had 8 and 9s before.
So we've got the one hole, Cam.
Get it out quick.
First race, one hole. Fresh, fast track.
Great driver.
Jody Jameson driving.
I talked to his buddy today.
In a lower grade claims race.
We need it.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling good. We're going to win.
Oh, let's do it, man. We need it.
I'll be happy with top three.
So would I. Win bonus.
9 horses in the race, though.
Mirror, I don't like that.
We'll get the odds, and we'll talk more Conflict Diamond after, as it looks like we might not be done.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
That's right, I said under, it's not a typo. Under. Tony Cicada will join us at 6 o'clock when they talk about DFS. Kind of a lighter night tonight in the National Basketball Association.
Crazy night on the ice. Oh my God, there's so many games, it's hard to put a lineup together.
Full slate of National Hockey League games tonight. I've got 2 NHL picks that I like tonight, Cam. I'm on a 4-0 run right now in the NHL. 2 nights ago, I was 3-0. Last night, I picked 1 game. Knew that the Buffalo Sabres, after beating the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Flames. Dude, I know, I was on the Flames.
I gotta start betting on Sabre games more, because I really know. Like, they really repeat themselves. They play well against good teams.
And then?
Whenever they're big, big dogs, and you're like, they don't have a hope in hell tonight, they're going to hang around, lose by 1 on the puck line, or win the game outright.
Very true.
And when they're playing an average-ass team, Calgary had lost 4 in a row. Buffalo's not winning 2 in a row at home. And boom, Calgary beats them.
A great point, too. And Calgary needs the points, right? right? Because they're a team fighting. I remember I saw that, like, before the game started, too, they had a big speech. They went boom, boom. Like, Buffalo didn't even know what hit them in that game. Calgary came out, yeah, punched them in the face, 5-1 final, and Buffalo scored their goal. The crazy thing was the total was 5.5. Buffalo scored with 13 seconds left in that game to get it to the over.
Man, there are a lot of hockey games tonight on the board.
I told you, I love the whole board. Let's go. We should go over some games because it's going to be a great night.
Well, one of the games that I like, I took them the other night, and they got it done for us a couple of nights ago. And they had the night off. They're staying in the area. The red-hot Winnipeg Jets.
Want to hear about the Winnipeg Jets?
Winnipeg Jets tonight.
Did you hear what happened the last game?
No reason not to take them tonight against the New Jersey Devils.
The Winnipeg Jets are playing, so they went into Carolina. I told you about the lucky win off the referee's face where Paul Stastny scored the winner. Then they go into New York. You know what happened? Patrick Laine opened up the scoring for the Jets. He scored the second goal and the third. Natural hat trick. You talk about Taylor Hall as the hottest player in the league. Like, LeBron's lighting it up and DK. I'm telling you, right now, Taylor Hall and Patrick Laine are the hottest players in the universe.
Yeah.
You could take this guy, put him in your lineups, Gabe. He's hot. Like, he is scorching hot.
He's got at least 1 point in 26 straight appearances. Taylor Hall.
Yeah, Taylor Hall's on fire.
But 19 straight games. Because he was off. So, you know, going back, you know, unbelievable. 20 straight appearances, 19 straight games. Brian Boyle says he's been far and away the best player, MVP for us. 30 goals, team high, 74 points. He's an MVP candidate. He should be at the top of the list, in my opinion, for what he's done. It's remarkable.
It is remarkable.
Devils are 34-25. 5-5 in their last games, coming off a 6-4 win over the Montreal Canadiens. But Winnipeg Jets, Cam, 8-2 in their last 10, just smoking.
Yeah, the Jets are hot. I was going to put the Jets on my ticket. The only reason I didn't put the Jets on my betting board tonight.
Short price.
It's a short price. I also look at the situation. They've been on the road for a bit and successful on the road, and they're also a team that really doesn't have to worry about anything. I just think it's a game where the Devils are going to be very hungry. I think it's going to be a real tight game.
Ride the hot hand. That's my logic.
Yeah, no, I know. Ride the hot hand.
And,
no,
and the other, in the next game, I only like two NHL games despite the big slate tonight. Remember a couple of nights ago, you and I were both all over Columbus against Las Vegas. Tonight, Las Vegas beats Detroit.
Yes.
You pick your spots. You pick your spots betting against Vegas.
VGS.
Tonight's not the spot to do it. They've been pretty good coming off of losses. They bounced back. They've been off for a couple of days. And, Cam, you know, I don't have to tell you the Detroit Red Wings are colder than one of your Pepsis in the freezer.
When I leave it in the freezer?
Yeah, they're ice cold.
They sure are.
They're ice cold. They're ready to explode. Like, yeah. You know, it's all deformed and stuff. Yeah. Like, it, psh, when it...
You know what I don't like when it's deformed? It doesn't taste the same. It gets too sugary on the top and too watery on the bottom. I've also...
I've scared the crap out of myself with the noise.
I'm experimenting with beers, too. Very dangerous beer. Freezer beers.
Like, I thought, like, something exploded once because I just heard this, like, pow!
Pow!
It was sort of like a cap gun or something. I was like, what the hell? And I didn't know what it was until a couple hours later. It was later in the night. I opened my freezer and...
just saw the old brown slushies all over the place.
It popped, exactly.
Know what I love about your freezer, slush, though, Gabe? It's the best because I come in there. It's actually great because your fridge is really busy, but your freezer has a lot of room. So when you play the freezer game, it's very simple. Just a quick one mop. Boom. Mine, I have to take it out because it sticks to bread. It sticks to the other food. It's a nightmare.
You put everything in the freezer.
That's what I'm talking
about. You put your underwear in the freezer.
I would. Cool. If I could keep a gel cool nut hugger sack there, I would definitely keep my underwear in the freezer. Love the freezer.
The nut hugger sack.
Yeah, but my Pepsi blew the other night, too. I had to clean out the whole damn freezer. It sucked.
All right, Fresno State and San Diego State are off and not running. It's 5-4 after 6 minutes.
Sounds like they're walking.
Yeah, 5-4 after 6 minutes. Great stuff. This is why, though, when I talk about the Mountain West sucking, Cam, and yeah, they
go ice cold. They are a freezer. When you talk about freezers, that's Mountain West basketball.
So there's a lot of talk about the Seattle Seahawks, Richard Sherman. I guess Richard Sherman's been told.
Yeah, he told them, I'm gone.
He was saying Richard Sherman's going to be moving on.
Yes, he is. Richard Sherman's going to be moving on. He basically, I think he wrote Lane a letter or tweeted him and said, hey, man, it's been a slice. And this is the problem. The Seahawks got more problems than I told you. The Michael Bennett story to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Michael Bennett on the Philadelphia Philadelphia Eagles. Nice signing for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Great sign. Here at Seattle, here at how Seattle's they're playing it now. They're being all bitter and being weird. Like, hear what they said? Oh, Michael Bennett was a problem. What was he a problem years before when he was getting sacks? And another thing,
dude,
is
teams, you know why they do this? They always do this, teams. You know why they do this? Is because they don't want their fans bitching.
Yes, I know.
Right? Why did you let this guy go? Right? So they immediately look at poor Isaiah Thomas. You know, I don't think Isaiah Thomas is an angel or anything like that. But look at Isaiah Thomas. The guy's sister got killed.
I know.
He plays the next day in the playoffs. He plays well. He hung like, you know, what was it, 47 points or 49 points, whatever the hell it is. The kid played his heart out for the Boston Celtics. The second he left, oh, he's a selfish player.
Exactly.
He's a selfish player. He's a problem in the room. In fact, you know what? Tony Cincata actually surprised. I didn't think Tony was going to join us until 6. That's not
Tony
right now.
Tony comes in early.
Tony, you know the Boston media and the Boston sports scene. Seems to me the teams from Boston do this more than ever, but they're doing it to Bennett right now that he's a troublemaker. That's why you guys were good. They were all troublemakers on the Seahawks. Yeah, we get it. You know, he's a football player. What do you want? Like, you want a Boy Scout?
Exactly.
Because I'm playing on the defensive line in the National Football League. But, Tony, the Red Sox, the Kings of this, the Celtics, the Bruins, the Boston media, it's always the hit job on when a player leaves after. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, Tony?
Oh, well, you know, it's one of those things is that everybody in sports, that's what it is. We're passionate about. I wish we were back in the days. We used to hate the opposing teams, right? And you used to be all fired up. Like now you see, like nothing worse than me that David Ortiz was at Derek Jeter's bowling tournament. Mookie Betts was also at a Yankees thing. That sucks.
Let me ask you then, guys, because funny, it's actually a perfect segue into this. We're talking about Seattle and everything. So, John Gruden, remember he did that great show, the QB camp?
That's right.
Yeah. It was a great, great show. So he can't do it anymore because he's the coach of the Raiders now. So guess who they got to replace him?
Russell Wilson.
Now, what Tony just thought. And Tony, when I saw that Russell Wilson, and it's not just going to be quarterbacks, but basically Russell Wilson's going to talk football and mentor rookie players. And I'm thinking, why the hell is a Seattle Seahawks quarterback going to be mentoring players that are coming into the league that don't play for the Seattle Seahawks? That's the benefit of Russell Wilson being on your team. You get his secrets. Not everybody gets his secrets. You get the secrets to success.
You know what I mean? No, honestly.
Tony, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Why the hell would Russell Wilson help all these young quarterbacks come to the league? That's not your job, Russell. You know, you know whose job it is? The coach of the team that he gets drafted to. What do you think? Like, he's an active player, Tony. He shouldn't be doing a show where he's mentoring young players coming into the league, in my opinion.
I totally agree. And the crazy thing is, right, is now Seattle's going to be this quarterback situation. Obviously, he's in a career. People are killing Josh Rosen already, right, because he has outside interest and he might not be all in football. Yet Russell Wilson's already trying to set up his post-NFL career by playing for the Yankees, taking broadcasting jobs. How devoted is he to the Seahawks?
Yeah. You got to love the hit job on Josh Rosen right now, that he's a free thinker. Like, that's the big thing.
Yeah.
He has thoughts on things. Yeah, it freaks people out. Basically, if you ask Josh Rosen a question, he will answer it.
Yes.
Like, don't worry. He'll get conditioned and probably be like every dumbass pro, and he won't say anything after the fact. But, yeah, no, it's amazing to me, the media smear jobs. And you're right about Russell Wilson, so... Yeah, you know, we talk about commitment. The guy's at baseball right now.
I know.
Like, you know, what a commitment.
The Seahawks are...
The guy thinks that drinking water, like, stops concussions.
What the hell are the Seahawks doing, too, by the way? They're letting all this stuff happen at Pete Carroll under his watch. They already talked about getting rid of Jimmy Graham. We talk about Bennett got traded. Now Wilson's doing camp.
The run's done, Cam.
Oh, it's over. I'm telling you.
Look at the changing of the guard. You got the Rams.
It's ridiculous.
And look at the Rams.
Garoppolo and the 49ers are young.
The 49ers coming up. The Rams are for real.
Pete Carroll's smart. You know what he's doing? This is the craziest thing, and Cam won't like this. Pete Carroll knows that the team's in trouble, so what he's doing is he got rid of every coach, and he's getting rid of every veteran, and then he's going to say, oh, we've got a rebuilding team. So he buys himself 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it's pretty smart, Tony. I didn't think they were that far away, but honestly, what I'm seeing in the offseason, it's almost like they're waving the flag. I don't know what the hell's going on
right now.
They
got to get Russell Wilson some help, too.
That's
another thing. If you're going to get rid of players all the time and save money all the time, then Start getting some help for Wilson.
You know when the Seahawks went back?
Get a running back and get an offensive line.
You know when things changed for them? When they got rid of Unger and everyone was thinking, oh, what a great move. You know, you pick up Jimmy Graham. When they dismantled that offensive line, they were done. And I'll tell you, that's the thing. People don't understand how important he was to that team for the running game, for the protection, for everything.
Tony, we were talking about Pete Rose earlier.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I told a story. Listen, there's an Expos charity, Expos Fan Fest, it's called. And, it's, you know, Expos guy, he's really trying to keep the team, get the team back and stuff, and does a great job for charity, gives the money to the Children's Hospital. So there's a big dinner in Montreal with all the former Expos. And Pete Rose is a former Expo. So Pete Rose actually got his 4,000th hit with the Montreal Expos. And, you know, Pete's proud of that. And, you know, Montreal, you know, it's sort of a piece of Expos history. It is what it is. He was on the Expos. And so Pete Rose, surprisingly, said, listen, I can't come to the dinner, probably because he can't get into Canada since he's been in jail.
that's a good point. He might have not been pardoned.
Yeah, exactly. But, so Pete actually said, listen, I can't come to the dinner, but, you know, I wish you guys luck. And, hey, you know, hopefully the Expos come back, so I'm going to send you 100 baseballs. So Pete Rose sent them 100 baseballs. Autographed baseballs and for the auction and the charity and stuff. And I was like, you know, pretty nice thing for Pete to do. And we said, you know, Pete's pretty greedy and stuff, but, you know, he's not a total bad guy. And then basically a couple hours later, Tony, I see that Pete Rose is for five. So he's hosting dinner for four. What do you think this is worth, Tony? You didn't hear us talking about this, right?
Yeah.
So dinner for four, Pete Rose, four autographed baseballs, four pitchers, dinner for four.
You pay for the dinner.
And, you pay for the dinner. How much do you think that's worth?
That is.
What would you pay? What would you pay to eat dinner with Pete Rose?
I'd pay $113.
$113?
Yeah. But I think it's going to go for $2,500.
$5,000.
$5,000.
I don't think he gets it. Do you think he gets it?
No, he doesn't.
No, but get this, Tony. So it's $5,000, dinner of four people.
Yeah.
You buy him dinner.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're buying him dinner. He's bringing four baseballs.
See.
It's $5,000, and you pay for your own airfare to Las Vegas.
Oh,
like, it's not even a
dinner.
Like, you don't even get all you can drink booze. Like, you know, if he said, all right, listen, it's $500 per person. You get blasted for free, and we eat the nice food from the Bellagio.
Oh, yeah. Then you go up to $1,000.
Yeah, but now it's like $5,000, four autographed baseballs, you pay for the dinner, no free booze.
you remember this game, but I don't know if
like,
people
I said this, Tony. You could literally sleep with Stormy Daniels. I mean, Trump only paid Stormy Daniels $10,000 to sleep with her.
Oh, yeah.
Sleep with Pete Rose.
Like, yeah, you can get a lot of hookers in Vegas for $5,000.
Yes, you could. Yes, you could. And I would like that. But I also would like the opportunity. I met Pete when Pete was doing his radio show in Boca Raton. He had a sports bar restaurant there. And his wife was the biggest bitch and money-hungry girl lady I've ever met in my life. And Pete was like, I think she grew on him, and then they got divorced. Now Pete has a hot Asian girl, I think. I think he has.
Yeah, he does. I don't know if he still does.
Anyway, he's really hustling.
And as we found out recently, too, Pete not only a great hitter, but he also has something in common. Like Pete's got something in common with like Tony Gwynn, great hitter. He's also got something in Woody Allen. Remember the story that came out?
Yeah, that's
that was the nail in the coffin for Pete's, like, TV career.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was like you were back on TV, and then it's like, all right. Basically,
he does.
The thing is, too, it wasn't cool.
In Vegas with that sport that the sports story hangs out the collectibles place, and he's just hanging out there waiting for someone to beg him to sign his autograph.
Yeah,
and he can pay him $10.
Yeah, Morantzy offered him 40, and his representative told him to take a walk. He didn't have any other clients that day.
Insider trading, guys.
Three times I've never seen anyone over there.
Really? No, I went up to him, too. Yeah. No one was there. I felt bad for him, and I offered the guy that was there $40. They wanted $105 for the baseball. I was like, listen, I'll give you $40, and they wouldn't do it. So like, I wanted to support him. Peyton Manning sold 31 Papa John outlets 2 days before the NFL deal.
That's, come on.
And why do I get the feeling that there'll be no
investigation?
Are you allowed? Yeah, no, you can do this. It's not insider trading, right, Tony? I mean, it seems a little kind of, you know.
It seems like good business on my end, but it, like, people would go to jail for this. Like, good, go to jail for this. I would, can't say I wouldn't do the same thing, but people would somehow.
Yeah, if you're the average guy and you do this, 31 outlets, like, that's a lot of money. Yeah, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars.
Pizza franchises are expensive. And then,
dude, like, did he tell the? That's the thing. That's the thing ethically here. Peyton, did you tell the people that bought these franchises that, oh, yes, by the way, in 2 days, we are dropping the NFL deal?
Exactly. He did not.
If he didn't, no, he did it. He's a scumbag.
But he's a scumbag regardless.
He did tease somebody before, and he got away with,
yes,
that, right, Tony?
And he went steroids and blamed his wife.
Yeah, and Al Jazeera.
Yes.
And now he said they want to give him $12 million to be on Monday Night Football.
Exactly.
He's a teabagger.